Morning, church. Morning. Please turn to Matthew chapter 11. We read this morning from verse 25 to verse 26. Matthew chapter 11. Our subject before us, the kingdom hidden yet revealed. The kingdom hidden yet revealed. We will read verse 25 and 26, and it reads as following. At the time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon us. Church, today's message is yet another paradox. We said last time, a paradox is something that sounds like a contradiction, but it is not a contradiction. There is a kingdom that is hidden, yet at the same time, the kingdom is revealed. That is what we have before us. When we were looking at this chapter, chapter in 11, you can remember, we have realized that there are actually so many challenges. There are so many negative thoughts, or there's so much negativity that came from this chapter. Firstly, we saw John the doubtful Baptist, as we put him the other time, that John the Baptist was a doubtful man. We went over and saw that John was not only a doubtful person, but his own message was rejected. Not just his message was rejected, but the Lord Jesus Christ's message himself was also rejected by the crowd there. We also saw that the kingdom is actually suffering violence. Remember, we said the kingdom of God was suffering violence, and violence was taking it by force. In other words, there were people who will physically force themselves into the kingdom of God, but only to find that in reality they are outside the kingdom of God because of their own unbelief. There are many ways they force themselves into the kingdom of God. Violence was another way, when they kill those who claim to be Christian because they want to be known as Christians, but also their wrong beliefs, as they want to say their belief system was better than the system which Jesus Christ was bringing at the time. We have also learned that then this kingdom, as it suffers violence, but there are those who enter into the kingdom and they are little ones. But we realize the blessing there, that these little ones, or these little children, which we shall look at again later on, they are actually great in the kingdom of heaven. Why did we say they were great? It is because they had only believed in the Son of God. Only when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are considered great in the kingdom of heaven. So what we have before us this morning, here in verse 25 and 26, is something then of good news and something of bad news together, that Jesus is bringing to this crowd before him and also to us this morning. Here we come to see something of God's sovereignty over salvation. God's sovereignty over salvation. We are here enlightened of the fact that God reveals a kingdom to other people and hides it to other people. That is harsh reality. But as we are reading John chapter 6, if you have listened very careful, that is the message that you get even there. There is a God in heaven. He has a kingdom. He reveals this kingdom to some, and he hides the very same kingdom to others. That is what we have before us. So God grants his salvation graciously to other people without anything good in and of themselves. But also, he shut the door of heaven in the face of others, not because there is something bad or they are worse than those whom God revealed the kingdom unto. It is not because they are worse than you
that God shuts the kingdom when we talk sinfulness, in terms of sinfulness. No, they are not. But God determines, He predetermined that He will do so as He save others. He bypass others and not save everyone. But what we need to know that God is capable, is powerful, is able to save everyone, but He has not intended to save everyone. The question then is not, why is God not saving everyone? That is not the question. The question is, why is He even saving one person? Why is God even saving you? Because the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let me repeat. All have sinned. All, everyone, every soul, every breath has sinned before God and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter number 3, verse 23. You read in the book of Psalms 53, verse 3. The Bible says, we have all fallen away together. We have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one in the eyes of God. Yet God saves such a people. Yet God chooses to save such a people. Psalm 58, verse 3. The Bible says there, even from birth, church, not even when we have done anything, humanly speaking, anything wrong, even from birth, the wicked goes astray. From their mother's womb, they wayward, they speak lies, they spread lies. We are corrupt from our mother's womb. But the good news is, it is in the midst of such a people whereby God finds and saves His own. That is news worth praise and thanksgiving to God. So, what should encourage us this morning as we read these verses, verse 25 and 26, is that Jesus was not taken by a complete surprise that the people were rejecting His message and were scorning Him as a person. He was not taken by surprise that these people were not accepting the gospel of the kingdom of God. Therefore, in the same way, church, our message, our gospel, our church may be rejected by the people around us, but it must not take us by surprise as though God is falling or is falling asleep. He doesn't know or He can't help us. It should not take us by surprise. And you will see why this thing should not take us by surprise. Then we will see that why we should be encouraged and give thanks to God and praise Him for the few that He saves, the few that is strengthened in our midst, the few that is being transformed into the children of light. So this morning, there are three characters which Jesus have in mind in our passage for us to understand something about this hidden yet revealed kingdom of God. Three characters that we're going to speak about. Firstly, the God who is in control. There is a God who is in control. Read verse number 25 and 26 again. At the time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven. Jump quickly to verse 26. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. We'll look at the other part of the verses. But first, the church, one thing that should stir your heart to the joy of the Lord. The best thing to know in life, regardless what is happening, that in every situation that you may be going through, or in every situation there is a God who is in control. Of course, sometimes when we look with our naked eyes, when we look with our human understanding, it may seem as though God is not in control. You put yourself in the shoes of this crowd that is following Jesus. As Jesus is rejected, the people might have thought that God is not in control. But there is a God who is in control. And that is what Jesus is bringing before us. Yes. John the Baptist is in prison. Even when he was outside prison, Nobody cared about his message. A few people followed him and agreed to repent from their sin. Even the same Lord Jesus Christ is rejected, even in his own hometown. The people did not receive him. If you read the Bible, you realize that there were few people who followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes when the multitude followed him, and then immediately they all turned back. It looks like Jesus is failing. It looks like God is not on his side. It looks like God is not doing anything. But Jesus is bringing before us a God who is in control. Jesus wants to assure us that those who faithfully follow him, he wants to assure them that there is a Redeemer in heaven who is in control. Everything is in God's hand. That is what we must know, church. Everything is in the hands of a faithful God. And even those who follow behind the scene as Jesus is progressing with his ministry, those who are skeptical, those who are not believing, even them as they follow, Jesus wants to assure them that actually you may see the lack of fruit in my ministry. You may see that nobody actually cares about what I'm saying, but I want to tell you that God is still in control. God is in charge. They need to know that. God has not failed Jesus. God will never fail. Things are going according to his predetermined plan. So here, in the presence of this crowd, Jesus praises God. He lifts up his voice unto heaven. Jesus praises God for the gospel. He says, I thank you, Father. That is a praise to God. How can a man, humanly speaking, who's failing in his ministry, there is no convert, he says, I thank you, Father. Jesus praised God for the gospel. He praised God for the gospel regardless whether the gospel is rejected or accepted. He praised God for the gospel. The gospel is worth praises, regardless whether someone receives it or not. Jesus points out one of the most important things in the scripture. It brings this great encouragement in the gospel ministry even to us today. God is fully aware of who will respond and who will reject the message of the gospel. God is fully aware of those things. So we must not be discouraged that we are rejected. The message is not sinking deep to the hearts of men. Maybe God is not doing something, or there is something that we must do better. Yes, sometimes there is, but in reality, God is actually aware who will receive this message. God is aware of everything, church. We need to be encouraged of this. This is encouragement to us, as Jesus points out that God is the only one. He is the one responsible of, listen, God is the only one responsible of whosoever enters the kingdom of God and whosoever does not enter the kingdom of God. God is fully responsible for that. Who comes to the kingdom of God, then you're sitting there. You should be sitting there with a joyful heart. God is actually responsible for me to be a Christian. In other words, if God is responsible for me to be a Christian, God is responsible to keep me as a Christian. That is the message that should sink deep in your heart. That is why Jesus is saying, thank you, God. He is responsible for whosoever come in and those who does not come in. So please, I want you to notice here in verse number 25, it says, at the time Jesus declared. You read other translation, it says, at the time Jesus answered. But you read before verse 25, there is no question, but Jesus is answering. Jesus is answering a question, but the question is not posed here. We'll get back to what was that. But what is in his mind and what should be in our mind is the question that he's answering, is that why a vast number of people are rejecting the gospel and why another number is accepting the gospel. He wants to answer that. Why a vast number of people are rejecting, especially those who are religious in themselves. They are religious, they claim to know things, but they are rejecting the message of salvation. But some are receiving this message. The question is, does the kingdom of God depend on man to accept the gospel, or else if man does not accept the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God will be empty if man does not accept the gospel? Does the kingdom of God depend on us? I must accept. If I don't accept, God will be stranded. He will have nobody in the kingdom. That's the question we need to know. Does it depend on us? Does everything depend on men? Or should the pastor be or the preacher be cruel and try to be accommodating to the crowds and or else the people will not believe? Is that what this is about? The preacher must be funny. He must make jokes, or else the people will think that it's too strict, and they will leave the church, and the kingdom of God will be empty. Is that what is this about? Or does the church have to accommodate some gray line form of worldliness, or else the youth will not come to church? The church must compromise a little bit so that the youth is happy to be in this church, or else the churches will be empty. Does it depend on men? Verse 25, Luke, Jesus says to God, he calls him Father. That is the first thing that he does. Jesus calls God Father. Jesus claims to have a personal relationship with God which no man has. Jesus brings something of a unique identity about himself. He is with the people, but he is unique to the people. Jesus is claiming to be equal with God, yet humble and submissive to God. He's something of a unique identity. But not only does he call him Father, he goes on in the same verse, he says he is Lord of heaven. Not only is God the Father to Jesus, but God is Lord of heaven, and God is in charge. That's where the theme comes from of this point one. God is in charge. God is in control. He's the God who is in charge of heaven and earth. Jesus is showing something of God's sovereignty over all that is created, the things that we see and the things we do not see. God is sovereign. He has authority over all things. That is why when he brings the answer of what is happening with the crowd, you realize that this is true. God has control over all things. And nothing then takes God by surprise. Even the rejection of the gospel does not take God by surprise. Therefore, Jesus prays God. He prays God for being sovereign. It's very important. Praise God for being over all things. But above all, as you read through the thin lines of why Jesus is praising God, you realize that Jesus is praising God for accepting sinners into heaven. God must be praised for accepting sinners into heaven. That is why Jesus is praising God. Jesus is appreciating God's gracious will. God's gracious will that he is appreciating is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God that transcended the wisdom of man. The wisdom of God that God sees it right in his heart and in his mind to snatch sinners from the garbage of sin unto his marvelous light, regardless of who the person is. Let me give you a background so that you realize why I'm saying Jesus is praising God for accepting sinners into heaven. Let me give you a background, a small background of why is Jesus pointing out that God is in control regardless of what is happening. Why must we have something of encouragement from this verse? If you look at Luke chapter number 10. Let's turn to Luke chapter number 10 together. There is something happening there. That is where you see these words of praising to God for the things that are hidden and the things that are revealed. Please turn to Luke chapter number 10 so that we go through this together. It is there in Luke chapter number 10 that a 70 man comes back to Jesus. We are told that Jesus sent 70 people to preach the gospel. Listen, he sent 70 people to preach the gospel. and the 70 people come to Jesus and they speak to Jesus. So they come back to Jesus to give him something of an answer or what happened when they went out there. The Bible says there in verse number 17 and 18, as these people tell Jesus they had made converts, the Bible says the 70, or it's actually 72 people, not 70, 72, they returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like a lightning from heaven." But I want you to look at verse 21. Look at verse 21. In the same hour, when Jesus was receiving this message from these 72 people, he rejoiced in the Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to the little ones. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." So, here's 72 people telling Jesus that they went to preach. Actually, they accomplished. People believed and demons were subject to them. Jesus is saying to them, this is the Jesus answering now. "I thank you, Father." That's where the answer comes from. "I thank you, Father. You have revealed these things to the little one. You have hidden them to the wise and understanding." So what is happening here, church? Jesus is comparing the outcome or the result of these 72 people that went far. He's comparing it to his own fruitless ministry. He's standing there preaching to this crowd of Capernaum. No one is repenting. Here come 72 people say, "Hey, you sent us. We've got converts. You standing here, Jesus Christ, you standing here preaching the gospel. No converts." So he's comparing. You know what? Let me highlight to these people. God is in control. He may not be saving anyone around here, but he's saving someone somewhere out there. There is 72 people who preach the gospel and they are converts, yet among you there is no converts. God is in charge. He is in control. In other words, Jesus has not failed. God has not failed. You look at the global scale to see that God has not failed. You don't only look at your Nikki Sovereign Grace Bible Church. That is what this is about. God is in charge. He is in control. People are getting saved. We pray that they may also be saved even here. But he's saying, no, if you compare, God is in control. He saves sinners even when they are not around here. So he's telling the crowd or the religious people. So the point of the matter here, church, is this. God is the one who saves. We need to know this. God is the one who makes the decision who will come to his kingdom. So God is the one who has appointed some into salvation and shut the door to some not to be in salvation. So Jesus is saying, I'm not taken by surprise and I'm not, this is the right way, discouraged because of my unfruitful, under quotation mark, ministry. I'm unfruitful. John the Baptist was not fruitful. He's in prison. That may seem discouraging, but God is actually working in the other hand through Jesus, because it was Jesus who sent the people. So let not none of you be discouraged. God is in control. He is the one who opens and is the one who shuts the door. Let's prove that quickly. Open Acts chapter number 13, verse 48. Acts, there's many verses, but I don't want to go through this. Acts 13, verse 48. Verse 48 says there, "And when the Gentiles heard this," in other words, when the Gentiles received the gospel, when those who were non-Jews, who did not have the revelation of God through the law of Moses, those who knew nothing about the kingdom of God. So, when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. Please notice, they were appointed to eternal life. That is why they believed. They didn't believe and became appointed. No, 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 church. They were appointed to eternal life. God was in control behind the scene, pulling strings as it were, controlling them, directing them by the Spirit that they may come to believe. It is the same thing that happened with the 72. God is in control, pulling strings behind the scene, making sure that one hears the gospel, making sure that the gospel sinks into your heart. It is God, and it is God alone. Let us not be discouraged. God is working. Listen to Romans chapter number 9, verse 11 to 16. Let's turn there together. Romans chapter number 9, verse 11 to 16. Then we'll go to our second point. We're looking at this God who is in control. This God who's sovereign over all that is happening. This God who's encouraging us that we should continue to do what is right. Yet, He's the one who directs and does all things. Let's read verse 11 to 16. Though Jacob and Esau were not yet born. Please notice. They were not yet born. And had done nothing either good or bad. In order that God's purpose of election might continue. Not because of works, but because of Him who calls. That is God. The mother was told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. This is before they were born. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. What shall we then say? What can we say, church? Is there injustice with God? Is there injustice with God's part? In other words, God unfair? By no means. For He says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I choose to have mercy. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it does not depend on human will. It does not depend on you and me. It does not depend on what we want to happen or our station, but on God. It depends on God who has mercy. That is what this is about. All that is happening here, it depends on God. Be encouraged. God is in control. So the point is, church, although we put the salvations of the nation in our hands, as it were, although we preach the gospel, because we must go out and preach the gospel, because if we don't preach the gospel, no one will believe. Although that is true, God remains in control. He is the one who saves those which we preach to. He is the one who sends us to preach to whosoever we preach to. God and God and God alone saves. No one. That is what Jesus is thanking God for. That is what Jesus is answering. Hey crowd, don't laugh just because none of you is following me. God is still in charge. He's saving others. You should be crying for your souls and come to the salvation of God. Enter this kingdom. Stop pointing fingers and say there's three of them, there's five of them, there's no one there. Come to God for the cleansing of your souls. That is Jesus. Because He just saved many people through these 72 men. And you didn't see that. You don't have to see that. See inside your heart. You need God. Because He is the one who is in control. He sends us and He saves those. Only He can open the door and close the door of heaven. But let us jump quickly to the second point. Let's look at the wise and the understanding which the text is talking about. It says, at the time Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things. Please underline. These things from the wise and understanding, and you have revealed them to the little ones. We'll look at the little ones later. So Jesus now speaks words which really are not easy to understand. There are things hidden. He says these things are hidden to some people, and these people are among the people. There are things hidden to these people. These things are hidden to a person to the point that the person actually misses heaven completely. These things are hidden to the person because the person will not be enlightened without these things. So now this becomes then the proof of God's sovereignty. It becomes the proof that God is in control. God hides these things. It doesn't matter what you want to do. He hides these things. He has things hidden in Christ. He hides Christ. Listen, He hides Christ from the hearts of others. He hides Him. These are the things. He hides Christ from the hearts of others and reveal Him in the hearts of others because He's in control. This tells us, church, there is nothing anyone can do. No one can cry out and change God's mind.
If he hides these things, he hides these things. And if he reveals these things, he reveals these things. Praise to God. Hallelujah and amen. Well, he says then, these things are hidden from the wise and the understanding. In other words, the human mind cannot comprehend these things in its own. The human mind cannot understand on its own these things that we are talking about. The human mind cannot grasp these things, regardless of how clever the person can be, regardless of how much of an IQ the person can possess. You know, you have those people who've got great minds, like Albert Einstein, and they create all these things that they create, and you see all the things that you see because people have got great minds. But these things are hidden from those people of great minds and wisdom of the world. These things are hidden. Doesn't matter how clever you are. The human mind cannot get this thing right outside the supernatural help that comes by the Spirit of God. There has to be a supernatural help that will come from the Spirit of God, unless your wisdom will be folly. Church, what is Jesus talking about? Jesus is not talking about the understanding of Scripture. Jesus is not talking about the understanding of doctrines. Many people understand Scripture. Many people understand doctrines. Everybody's got a doctrine, even if it's a false doctrine. It's a doctrine. Jesus not understand. He's not talking about the gospel being preached literally in the hearts of people, in the ears of people, that is hidden. So someone is put in a corner somewhere not to hear the gospel. No. Someone is in the marketplace. He's hearing the gospel. He's not talking about this thing hidden in that way. But even though this gospel is preached, even though you hear the audible voice of a preacher telling you to repent, what is it that is hidden? The revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of who he is. The person of Jesus Christ is hidden. You do not comprehend the fact that Jesus is Lord, and he came down from heaven, walked down the dusty street so that he may save sinners, and he went to the cross, from the cross to the grave to save sinners. You don't understand. But you're hearing it every day. That is why this was happening. These things are hidden. It is not the gospel preached that is hidden. Everybody hears the gospel. Even in the false churches, there is something of the gospel. Something of the gospel, but the heart cannot take it. The heart cannot take it. These things are hidden. These are the spiritual things. The spiritual things that are hidden. He's referring to the revelation of truths. The truth about Jesus is hidden. The truth about Jesus is not given to the wise and understanding, because they are wise in a worldly way. They understand in a carnal way. These things are the things of God. These things are spiritually discerned. And the carnal mind will not understand this thing. These things separate between the believer and the non-believer. These are the things that separate between the sharp and the wheat. These are the things that takes one to heaven and leave the other one to go on his way to ruins. The understanding of who Jesus is. The heart that wants to say, I love you, I repent, is hidden. These things are hidden. These are the things that turns a witch into a worshipper of God. These are the things that turns a thief into a preacher of the gospel. These things are hidden from the wise and the understanding. The things that pertains the personal knowledge, the personal relationship of Jesus Christ and a man or a woman and a child. These things are hidden. Who are these wise and understanding? Those were the religious leaders of the time. Those were the political leaders of the time. The people who led Israel. But it is also our religious leaders today, our political leaders today. Those who are given the wisdom to run the countries, those who are given the understanding of biology, Scientology, whatever theology you have. These are the people we're talking about. The gospel is hidden from their wise but foolish hearts. Did you hear the paradox? The gospel is hidden from their wise but foolish hearts. The hearts corrupted by sin. The heart full of the hatred of God. Church, let me tell you. Man can have a great learning. Man can have a high position of power.
Man can be wiser than Solomon if there is a chance. Man can build machines that go to the moon. Man can build machines that read stars and machines that predict weather even accurately. Man is wise. But these things are hidden from the wise. These things are hidden from those who depend on their own wisdom. These things are hidden from those who depend on their own understanding. They don't want God to make them understand. They want to understand things for themselves. They don't want God to make them wise. They think they are wise. They think education is what makes them wise. There is truth in that, but it does not make you wise to the truth of God. These are the people who lead us today. They read the stars. They tell you whatever they want to tell you. Yet, such wisdom is foolish if it does not bring you to Jesus Christ. If it does not make your heart wise to know who Jesus is, such wisdom is foolish. The Pharisees and the scribes were those people at the time. The Pharisees and the scribes were the people who claimed to be wiser than anyone at the time. They were the wise of the day. They had their own understanding and their own interpretation of the law of Moses. No one could tell them anything. Even interpreted to Jesus. No, you can't heal on a Sabbath. No, you can't check your mate on a Sabbath. They even interpreted the law to the man who made the law. That's how wise they are. The Pharisees and the scribes. They want Jesus to repent. They want to preach to Jesus. Can you believe it? You want to preach to Jesus. Shame on you. But it's because they are wise. They were wise and understanding. And some members of the society were also wise in their own level. Leaders of today, traditional leaders and everybody, is wise in his own understanding. These are the wise people. Yet the things of the gospel are hidden from them. That is why, if you read above these verses, what did Jesus say last week? He says, if the mighty works, if the miracles that were performed at that time to those people, if those miracles were done in the country or land of Sodom, those people would have repented and the miracles would have remained. Why? Because these people, they think they are clever. Those people knew they were not clever. But those miracles they didn't get. Church, the problem with the Pharisees was that they always wanted to be on the position of power. Once you want to be in a position of power, you must always prove to be wiser than someone. Do you know that? You must always prove to understand things better than people. So the fact that they were craving the position of power made them to even crave the wisdom and the understanding from one another, and they went astray. Actually, if you read history, it tells you that these Pharisees, on the last day of every feast, like in the feast of living, in the feast of whatever feast you may read, especially in the book of John, where we're going through in our daily reading, you realize that there's a feast day. The history tells us that at the end of every feast, they will stand up, the Pharisees, and stand up, and the people will sit and listen. They shouted together, "We are wise. We have a better understanding of the law of Moses. No one is wiser than us." That is what they used to stand up and proclaim. That is why in John chapter number 11, before they could even do that, Jesus stood up first and says, "You know what? If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and have this water, and this water I'll give to him will become a spring of life giving water in him." Because they were going to stand up again. We are wise. We understand more than anyone the law of Moses. Check, is this dangerous to claim wisdom if it's the wisdom of the way of the world? Thinking that human wisdom is wise is dangerous. Such wisdom hides Jesus from your foolish heart. And sin remains sin and sinful in your sinful veins, where your sinful blood flows, because you are a sinful person, because you have a wisdom of this world. But let me emphasize to you, church, when we say these things were hidden from these people, it does not mean the gospel was not preached to them. No, church. The things are hidden from the people. It does not mean the gospel is not preached. The gospel is preached. But man continues to be unresponsive to the message of God. Man continues to be rejecting and ignorant to the miracles of Jesus. We spoke about that last week. The spiritual gospel does not able to penetrate the heart and change the heart of stone into a heart of flesh. It is impossible. Sometimes when the gospel is preached to these people, it sounds like a parable. It sounds like something confusing. So much easy. The gospel is easy. There is God in heaven. He's righteous. There are people in the world. They are sinful. These people must be one with God, but they cannot. So God sent His Son, who is righteous from heaven, to come and take part in the life of the people, to die for them on the cross, so that they may believe, and that His death may become a propitiation or a sin remover for them, so that then when they believe in Him, they have eternal life. Gospel. But it sounds like a parable. It sounds like something confusing. Listen to what Matthew 13 verse 10 and 11 says. Then the disciple came and said to him, this is after the parable of the sower. Then the disciple came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Or why do they hear you as if you're speaking in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to them it has not been given. So they are blinded. That's why it sounds like a parable. It is not a parable, because it is revealed to some and it is hidden to them. Oh, church, we preach the gospel. We must preach the gospel to every soul. And we want to insist on this gospel. We want to insist on salvation by grace and grace alone. But we will never save anyone. We cannot save somebody. God alone can save people. We can only pray and beg God to do so. Listen to Ezekiel 36 verse 26. We know this. Listen to what God says there. I will give you a new heart. Please, take your red pen and underline I. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. Now, there's another I. I will put it within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your heart and give you a heart of flesh. I. God will do it. It is God who does these things. So as we continue to build this church through the gospel, let us not be discouraged that others are rejecting our message. Perhaps they are wise and understanding than us. So let us continue to praise and ask the Lord to make sure that the gospel sink in our hearts, that they also may be enlightened when the time comes. Perhaps they are wise and understanding. But I can tell you, if they are wise and understanding, they are wise, but foolish hearts are flooded with the wisdom of the world. It is not the wisdom of God. The gospel is hidden from their hearts, regardless the fact that they hear the audible voice of a preacher, regardless the fact that they read the word. These words, when they read them, they are not spirit, they are not life, but unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Why? That point. Because we are the little children. Let's look at that point. The little children. Verse 25. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, but you have revealed these things to the little children. This is a group of people we all want to be. This is a group of people you want to be recognized with. The little children, not the wise and understanding. You want to be recognized as a little child. Those were people with mouths which want to always sing the good praises of God. These are the people whose hearts are joyful in the Lord. They've got the joy of the Lord in their hearts. These are people which we need in our generation. The people who question things not because they are skeptical. They question things not because they want to be clever, but they question things because they want an understanding of Jesus. People who want to know Him and know the power of His resurrection. People who want to know more of Jesus. People who want to follow Him with understanding. Rabbi, where do you live? We want to know before we follow you. These are the people. These are the little ones. They want to follow Jesus. They want the clarity of this Jesus. Because they are hunger. They are thirsty for righteousness. They follow Jesus with understanding. They don't want to wait for some kind of a debate on TV to debate and prove that Jesus is Lord. In their hearts, God has written the testimony that Jesus is Lord and His Savior. They love Him. They follow Him. These are the people who easily give themselves to God for the rest of their souls. For the rest of their souls. They want to find rest in God. These are the people whose hearts are not occupied with worldly wisdom. It does not mean they are foolish. No. Their hearts are not occupied with worldly wisdom. They may look foolish to the other people, but not necessarily. It's just that they don't bring worldly wisdom as something of great importance. They understand that worldly understanding is foolishness. Their hearts does not glory in the things of this world. They know that there is a God in heaven. The God in heaven is searching for them. They know that. And then when they know that God is searching for them, they begin to search for Him as well. They don't sit around, no, God is searching for me. He will find His God. No, their heart tells them, search for Him. We search for God. It is false that we believe that we don't search for God. I said it the other day. It is false that we don't believe that we choose Jesus. No, we choose Jesus. But we choose Jesus because God has chosen us to choose Jesus. Huh? Paradox again. Huh? Good. We search for God because God is searching for us. These are the people who are searching for God. They understand. They seem foolish to the world. In the eyes of the people, they seem like they are fools. The world thinks that these people are wasting their time, they're wasting their intellect when they devote themselves to the gospel and the missions of the gospel. No, these people are foolish. That's what the world thinks of them. But they are the blessed one. Why they are the blessed one? Christ is revealed to them. What a blessing. Christ is revealed to them. In the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, these were the people who had no formal religious or theological education. These people did not learn like the scribes. They didn't have the privilege. Yet, God revealed Christ in their hearts. Church, look at Acts chapter number 4, verse 13 about these people. This is what it says there. Listen. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, and they were astonished. And they recognize that they had been with Jesus. So these people, the world, is looking at these guys. These guys are uneducated. But hey, these uneducated people, they were with who? They were with Jesus. And what did they gain from Jesus? Boldness. The secrets of the kingdom of God. They gained the truth. They looked foolish, but they were actually the wise one. But and another thing that I want to bring to you. The fact that some of these people were looked down, foolish, and some were really uneducated, these little ones, these ones who believed in God, it doesn't mean everyone that comes to Jesus is now a fool in the worldly terms or is uneducated. No. Some of the people were educated, but here's the problem. When they were educated, the people of the world, they called them crazy. When you are not educated, he's not educated. Why must we listen to him? When he's educated, no, he's crazy. Listen to what happens in Acts 26, verse 24. This is Apostle Paul standing before the king, King Festus or Governor Festus, and he's preaching the gospel. Listen to what Festus is saying. Remember, Paul was one of the most educated person, eh? But remember, listen to what Festus is saying. Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are out of your mind. In other words, you are crazy. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind. Yeah. Just because he's telling the truth. If he was not educated like Peter, he was going to be told, you're not educated. What can you say to me? Now, this is Paul educated. No. Your learning is confusing you. You see now, the world will always have an excuse to run away from the truth of God. So, only the little ones are satisfied, church, in that this world is not their home. They don't build their treasures in the world where moth and rust will come and destroy. They are satisfied. This world is not their home. They are passing by. They are passing by. They will go and beyond the horizon of death and decay, there is a home for them. They are satisfied in their heart, regardless of what the world is saying to them or about them. The kingdom of heaven to them is nothing less than the Son of God. They would rather not be in the kingdom of God if the kingdom of God we give to them does not have Jesus. They want the kingdom of God where Jesus is, these little ones. So the wisdom of the world does not help them. They know that they need help for their sins. And that helps come from God in order that they may be right with God. Those are the people who acknowledge their sin. And once they acknowledge their sin, they identify who the Savior is. They don't acknowledge their sin and run the wrong direction. They identify who the Savior is. So what do we learn from this? Little point, church. This little point of the little ones. These who are so blessed that the kingdom of heaven is revealed unto them. We learn the simple truth. The kingdom of God is heavenly revelation. The kingdom of God comes as a heavenly revelation to people. It is revealed by God, and only God makes those who receive this kingdom little ones, or those who are humbled before Him. He says in verse 26, it is God's gracious will. It is God's gracious will. Look at verse number 26. In other words, this is how God wants it to be. In other words, this is what God wants things to be. And there's no other way around this. It is His gracious will that the kingdom is revealed to the little ones. And there's nothing a wise and understanding man like me can do about it. If that's the case, it is God's gracious will. And it's also God's gracious will that the kingdom is hidden from those who are wise, but wise in the ways of the world. So church, you do not study too much to have this revelation. That's why you don't need great education, PhD, whatever HD you might think of. You don't need so much that you may understand these things of heaven. And you don't decide when you're going to understand these things of heaven. It is not your decision that, no, now I want a revelation. You know, people come to church, I want to hear a new revelation. No, it's not a decision that there's a new revelation. This revelation comes by the will of God and by the grace. It says the gracious will. God grants this revelation. And church, I'm going to remind again, it is not our understanding of the doctrines of grace that we believe in into this church. It is not our understanding of whatever creeds. It is not your singing of the Lord's Prayer every morning, or like me, you're singing your Psalm 23 every morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall... No, this is not about that. It's about Jesus revealed in your heart. Jesus being a personal Savior to you. Is He? That is the point here. So church, this is the blessed part of the text. I am blessed with this text. God is not angry with us forever. That's what we get here. God is not angry with us forever. In Christ Jesus, He does not count our sin. He makes sure that we get a revelation who Jesus is, and that when we get this revelation, we come running to Jesus and we bow before Him. Lord, save me a sinner. Have mercy on me, O Lord Jesus. This is the greatest blessing to have in life. Jesus revealed to you in a saving relationship. Jesus calling you my child. God becoming your father even when we are fatherless. The greatest blessing a person can ever have. The greatest blessing here, church, is that God reveals these things. Let's turn to just a few scriptures before we close. Let's turn to John chapter 6 where we read. Just to remind you. Listen to John chapter number 6. Verse 37 to 39. Something that should encourage us as a people of God. Verse 37 to verse 38. We'll read one more verse after that or two. But for now, not actually 37 to 38, 37 to 39. Church, please read these words carefully and pray for your understanding. But it is given unto you to understand this parable. All that the Father gives me, it is God who gives. All that the Father gives me, he's talking about people, not tangible things. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will not cast away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will, the gracious will we are talking about, the one who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day. Verse 43-44. Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourself. Do not be confused about this. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him to me. No one can come to me. Do not be confused by these things. It is God who reveals this thing. And no one will come unless God has revealed this thing to his heart. And I will raise that person on the last day. Last verse. Verse 65. And he said, that is Jesus. I hope song is lalel. He said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me. No one can come to me unless it is granted. It is graciously given to him. The power is given to him graciously by my Father. No one can come to me. But here's the greatest blessing. The little ones have come. So, let us conclude. What do we need to do here? Let us praise God. Let us praise God for being sovereign. Let us praise God for being in control, even when our human eye tells us that He is not in control. Let's praise God. He is in control. We must not be discouraged. Let us be joyful even in discouraging times. God knows those who will respond and those who will not respond. And He has a reason for things. We should always expect God to save those we preach to. Those that we preach to, let us expect God to save them. But let us not be discouraged when God doesn't save any of them. Pray for those who are still blinded by their own worldly wisdom and human understanding. Those who still possess a short-sighted understanding of Christ. Let us pray for them. Above all, church, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to God for revealing His kingdom to you. To you! Praise God that He revealed this kingdom to you. Because this kingdom is hidden to others. You have the privilege. It is revealed unto you. Pray that He continues then to reveal His kingdom to many, even in our crazy township here. Pray. But also continue to pray for yourself. Pray for yourself that this revelation of Christ may continue to be revealed on your daily life, because you need this revelation every day. And the good God bless us.